So I don't take the word lightly, and none of us do, and none of us should, obviously. And so when the word is spoken, you adhere to it, and you listen, and you should be a good Berean, as we say. That's an Acts terminology that you go back and what you hear, and you study it out, and it's so important that you do so. I have made an intentional decision to tie myself to people. And I want to, what I do, I want to transfer into what the church should do. And I've tied myself, and maybe the word's tethered, I've tethered myself to godly men in my life that I can lean in on and that I can talk with and bounce ideas off of. And I'm so thankful that I have these men in my life. They mean the world to me. On top of that, I made sure I chose my words wisely. I've got some godly women in my life as well, but I'm not tied to any of them, just my wife, okay? So just FYI. So don't think that it's like I'm only tied to men. I've got some godly women in my life that I will listen to for sure, but I'm only tied to my wife. So my godly women that I talk to are through my wife, okay? So FYI. But it's important that you tether yourself to what's important. And so to really dive down into what I mean and to help you through this process, this is what today's message is all about. Before I left, I spoke a message about anchors and the importance of having anchors in your life. And those anchors are, to me, they are have-tos. These anchors, and it's a few weeks ago, so go back to that message. I believe it's summer part one. But I would encourage you to do so because those anchors are everything to me. That's how I guide my life, is by these anchors. And it's really, really important. And so that helps me to lead into this message, which is all about who I'm tying myself to. Who am I tethered to, and what's that look like? When I opened up this morning with the word being that it is so important and it shouldn't be taken lightly, there is a scripture, and I've referenced it often, there's a scripture that just weighs heavy on me as an individual, not just as a pastor, but as an individual. And that scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." I don't believe that was just for Paul to state to the Corinth church. I believe it's Paul actually saying that all of us should be willing to say this and mean it. And that is heavy for every one of us in this room. So everywhere you go, whether you're in your living room, whether in your car, whether you are at your workplace, this is a scripture that should weigh on you and stick with you, that you are an example in everything that you do. And you shouldn't take it lightly. You shouldn't just say, "Well, I'm just human, you know, and I get away with things." No, this is everyday life, that you are waking up and you're saying, "I'm an example. I'm an example that people can follow." And you should ask yourself these questions. And I think you should. No one's perfect. We know this to be true. I'd love to be following someone who's just got it all together. But they make mistakes. And that's what grace and mercy come in. And if I still see someone following after Christ and doing what Christ is in, you know, sharing with them and the vision that God's placed on their life, I mean, I'm going to follow this person. I'm going to continue to tether myself to that person. So I don't get caught up with the, "Well, no one's perfect and man will hurt you." And I know that, okay? I know all of those things. I've been hurt before many times. But when I read 1 Corinthians 11, 1, I see it as an invitation to follow after Christ. And that's where, I don't have time to go into theology today and hardcore doctrine thought, but, you know, some people ask me the question, where do I fall with grace? Where do we fall with once saved, always saved? Or do you believe in backsliding, or, you know, all of those types of terminology? I'm going to tell you, I don't lean heavy on either side. Where I lean is follow Christ. That's it. We can make up all kinds of excuses of what backsliding looks like, and well, maybe they were never saved to begin with, and that's a mind conundrum that I cannot get behind. I can't even follow that. I will tell you this in humility, I may have it wrong, but I am really the forefront thinker when it comes to, because I got a lot of friends who want to sway on either side, but I really want us to just be a follower of Christ for all of our days, period. That's it. That's all I really want to focus on. Whether someone was saved or not saved, it really, that happens at funerals. That's when people want to know. They want to know. And I'm going to tell you here, right now in this pulpit, I believe that you should follow Christ, period. And that's the present tense that encompasses past and future. Follow Christ right now, period. Be a follower of Christ, okay? Now, this is an invitation, though. It's an invitation to follow him, and invitations are blessings. Man, to be invited to follow after Christ is a blessing. It's an honor to be invited, that experience to have with someone on a level of spiritual size and magnitude. It's just beautiful. So then it leads me to the great invitation, which is Luke chapter 14, 15 through 24, the parable of the great banquet. There's this great banquet that's going to take place, and in the story, they're telling, go invite them, go invite everyone. And everyone keeps making up excuses, all the excuses, and that's where I get into the excuses of once saved, always saved, or backsliding, all the excuses. And it's like, don't make any excuses. Just follow Christ. Come to the great banquet. Stop being tethered to this world, being pulled. Like, right. Tether yourself to Jesus Christ and just go. So this great invitation, Luke 14, says, then the master told a servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. God is looking for people who are willing and obedient. Oh, that's what he's looking for. He's looking for people that want to be at the banquet, that want to be there, that they're just anticipating the banquet. This you're in a car with children and you hear some funny questions and you hear all these questions and maybe this is too TMI, I guess, for some people. But it's funny because, you know, I got teenage boys. I got three. And some of their questions are hilarious. You know, they're talking about girls. And I heard one of them say, man, I want to get married and have kids before Jesus comes back. And I think we've all said this, you know, we've all had those moments. Basically, they're saying, I just want to have sex, right? I want to have sex before Jesus comes back. That's what they're saying. Let's just be honest. So I'm like, oh Lord. So Ann and I, we just kind of look at each other. We're like, we're not touching this. We're like, let them just keep talking. But I've been in rooms where there's so many plans and purposes and people that they're not really chanting rapture. Like, I think we should be getting back to this of the anticipation of Jesus Christ coming back. I think that's where, again, we're tethered to the world of our own selfish ambitions, what we're trying to achieve and do. But if we would turn our focus to Jesus come back, Jesus come back. And that's where revival kicks in. That's where the desire to be around him, that being tethered to him. I mean, guys, you got to think about the minute that Jesus left the disciples, they started the message of Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Like, he's coming back. Like, there is something about Jesus. There's something amazing. I know you're like, well, yeah, it's Jesus. I know that. But there is something amazing about Jesus that you want to be tethered to, that you want to be connected to. And that's astonishing. But Isaiah 1:19, it says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. Guys, I want to eat the good things of the land. I want to be willing and obedient. And I think it takes being tethered to the right people. the right purpose and the right thought. I think it's important. I want to tether myself to people who are willing to be obedient and to listen to what Jesus is saying. I think that's so important. And throughout the Bible, you have examples of Elijah and Elisha, Jesus and his disciples, Paul and Timothy, Paul and Onesiphorus. I think Ruth and Naomi are obviously great examples of being tied to one another. So that leads me into the book of Ruth. So Ruth chapter 1, 16 through 17. If you don't know the story, read it. It's just a few chapters. It's a great, beautiful story of willing and obedient. But in verse 16, it says, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us.'" Wow, what a declaration. What a declaration. And I think it's admirable, it's honorable, it's unbelievable. So the story is fantastic. So today's message is all geared around this particular story, okay? Why? Well, because I believe it's important that we're tethered to the truth, that we're tethered to the good things. Brian, would you come up here real quick? So I've asked Brian to come up and just be a guinea pig for me. He said, the first thing out of his mouth was, "Are you going to hurt me?" Wow. Here, I'm going to hug you first. I love you. All right. It's so important that now I'm scared. Wow. This is so important that we tether ourselves. But here's why I say this. Too often, we're not paying attention to some things. So one thing is for sure, you need to know the length of your rope that you're tethered to people, okay? So I know you're going to sit here and, "Oh no, I'm not done. I'm going to do a fancy knot." Okay, there we go. Now you're not getting out. Okay, so the importance is short rope or long rope. This is really important. Some people keep everything at a distance, and if you're wise, you wouldn't do that. You would stay pretty close, but a lot of people don't. So what they don't realize they're doing when they tether themselves to people is you're not in an intimate relationship. You don't really know who they are. You don't know what they're doing in life, and you can tether yourself to the wrong people, and you can get hurt. And that's where you as an individual have to be really smart. Cameraman, I did not warn you. Get ready. We're moving. So, Brian, don't you get ready. You don't even know what's going on. Right? You think you know, but you have no idea because you're not close enough. So what happens is I can start running, and what's going to happen if I start running? Right? He's going to get hurt. He's going to get whiplash. He's going to get jerked. His back's going to hurt. He doesn't even know to follow me or anything right now. I know this is a nightmare for you because I haven't decided to run. Oh, it's all right. I'll break something right now. I don't care. Oh, yeah, I'm going around the drums. What do you think about this? Guys, you see the problem with this. I don't need to go much further, but you see the problem. If I was to start running, I'm going to hurt him. He's going to get whiplash. And that's what happens a lot of times when we connect ourselves to people who we don't even know what's going on. You can untie yourself, but now you're really in trouble. What we need to understand is the importance. I know, this is crazy. I know. He doesn't even know. Here you go. This is called a slip knot. There we go. This is being tethered to someone that you want to walk in the dust with, that you want to know what's going on. This is why it's so important that we don't sit here. Here you go, yeah. Oh, yeah, Brian. You're going to smell like me. When I move, he moves, and he's not getting hurt. He's not getting hurt, because why? Because he's right on my tail. If I raise my hands, his hands go up, my hands go down. We're in this together. There's no stopping this, and he can't get hurt. When you tether yourself to someone to this capacity, What you're actually saying is that where you go, I go. That I want to be there with you. I want to help you. I want to serve you. I want to honor you. I want to be in constant agreement with what we're doing. And when you do this, this is where you are changing. You're changing everything about yourself. You're saying, you're worthy of following. You're worthy of trusting. You're worthy of doing these things. Hands go up. Hands go down. I go down. You go down. I know. Turn it up. Now.
Don't dance.
I don't dance. I'm not going to dance. The importance of all of this is so that you don't get lost. Because see, too often, if Brian decided to start walking away, I've got him. I'm not going to allow this to happen. Brian, not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So that's why it's important that you tether yourself to the right person. The right person who wants to guard you and wants to watch over you and wants to help you. That doesn't want to see you suffer. That's going to check on you. If Brian and I lived like this on a regular basis. Now, obviously, this is physical, but in the metaphor of all of us, and Brian tethered himself to me. He called me. He texted me. He every single day, we live like this. We're tethered to one another. There's some trust and value in all of this, and this is important, and that's where it leads me to. You can take it all off. This leads me into my message today. So the benefit of being tethered to someone is it holds you to that truth. Thanks, Brian. What you should look for when tethering yourself to someone is really important. So I'm going to give you two different aspects of this message. One, what is the benefit of being tethered to someone? And then what should you be looking for in someone to be tethered to? So the first thing that the benefit of being tethered to someone is blessing. So you see this with Ruth and Naomi, that there is an ultimate blessing that took place. That blessing is needs being met. The need is being met. When you tether yourself to someone in truth, in God's word, in God's purpose, then you're going to see the blessing being met. In Proverbs 13:20, it says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. So what do you need to look for in someone? You need to look for if they're wise or not. You need to examine people's lives before you just tether yourself to someone. You need to say, are they wise? Don't just do this just to do it. Pastor Josh said I need to find someone who, you know, who loves Jesus. Well, loving Jesus is, are they wise? So wise is really important. Now, the next scripture that leads me to what you should be looking for under the blessing is in 1 Corinthians 15:33. This is a scripture that Paul is pointing to for the YOLO people. You only live once, and he's pulling apart people who are like, let's fight with animals and coliseums and drink tonight and die tomorrow type of a mentality. So we've got to be careful with this. So he says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. So how many of us know those types of individuals? Like, you only live once, let's just do things, and or let's do what we want to do and ask questions later, or let's wait until somebody gets us in trouble, let's just do it until we, you know, whatever. Well, those people are actually very foolish. So you're looking for people with good character, that they are upright in stature and understanding, that they don't break the law. They actually have a good set of brain, you know, going on here, brain capacity, where you're sitting here going, I don't want to do those things because that's actually going to cause me to not have credibility. So the good character is really important. The next aspect of being blessed is found in 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. It says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? And what harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Guys, in that particular group of scriptures, there is a word that is not, that is spoken of but not said, but it's used in the musical world, and it's called harmony. If I were to take myself and place myself behind this keyboard, you guys are in some real trouble, all right? You're going to have all sorts of different things. My left arm has no idea what my right arm is doing. And so I am not in harmony. I have no idea the concept of playing whatever needs to be played here to harmonize with over here or vice versa. No idea. I don't even understand the concept of it, okay? So what's happening is you're just getting what? Chaos. What the word is saying here is that you're looking for people who are in harmony, that they are one mind and one accord. They know what they're doing. They're not swishy-swashy. They're not back and forth, but they actually are determined. So you're looking at people and you're going, they have it together. Not only out in the open, but behind closed doors. There is harmony here. So I want you to be paying attention for people who live in harmony. Not the people who are always in dismay, always the victim, always in trouble. Those people you do not want to connect yourself to. You want to find people who are in harmony. They know what the word of God says. They know what they're doing. This is where blessing comes in. If you know what you're doing and you've been called out by God to do it, then God's going to take care of these things. Therefore, blessings will be apparent. So you can see the good fruit that is being produced by someone who has a grasp on what God is doing. So this is called harmony. Now, my second point about being tethered, what's the benefit of this? Well, it's purpose. You're fulfilling God's will for your life. Being yoked with purpose, you're walking in a position and a posture of worthiness. And that's really important. When you can see that there is real purpose to what's happening, you won't become lazy. Lazy is actually a result of not knowing your purpose. People who are slothful and just sitting around, that all they ever say is, man, I just want my bed. If you hear that a lot from someone, then my concern is, you're not supposed to be a lover of sleep, by the way. The word of God says that. I know I just crushed some of you in this room. Listen, I understand. I want to be in bed right now. I get it. But in the larger sense of this, what I mean is that every day that there is such purpose that there's not enough time in the day, that you can't wait. That's the type of person that you should be looking for, because there is a true blessing to this, the blessing of purpose. Man, you should be looking for purpose, okay? Because, again, being tied to someone with truth is going to give you that. Now, in with purpose, my subpoint to this that you should be looking for in someone to tether to is determination, being determined. You're going to see the hand of God working in their situations. They're so determined that they can't wait for the manifestation of God. We've said this time and time again. It's a Mark Batterson quote, and it is that I want a dream so big that it's destined to fail without divine intervention. That people are walking in such a manner of purpose that they know that it's going to fail. But it's only by God that it's actually not going to fail. That supernaturally, God's going to come in. They are so determined, and that they see the focus of what they're doing, that God is actually going to surround them, protect them, and do what needs to be done so that it can be fulfilled. Determination is key. All throughout the Bible, we have examples of this. We see Nehemiah, right? Nehemiah is the greatest example we can have. Gideon is about a 50-50 good example on it, but finally he gets to the understanding of God's going to take care of us and it's going to be okay. But throughout the Word of God, you see examples time and time again of people who are successful because they understand the purpose that they're doing and they're determined to see it through to the end because God is a God who says and does what he says. So important. So the next thing I want us to pay attention to is found in Philippians chapter 4:4-9. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. This is important. You fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. This is really important. The me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Now, before I say it, what I want to say is this. We serve a God who is a creative God. When you look up Genesis, you can find out how he created the whole universe, and you sit here and you go, we serve a creative God. When you follow Jesus and the examples that the disciples wrote of him, you see that Jesus is a creative individual, that he is doing the works of the Father. So he is creating things. When you see the creation of this, and then you follow what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 11:1, when you see this and you go, follow my examples, I follow the Christ example, there is a creativeness that takes place. Now, we know that we are not physically able to create. We're only mimics of what God does. We only take what he's already created and just kind of put it together, okay? So we can't create. This is a theological statement, by the way. But you know that you serve a God who is creative. So what Paul is saying here is that when you fix your eyes and your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, and you think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise, you're putting into practice all that you've learned and what you're receiving from what the Word of God says, and that's what Paul's saying, from me, this Word of God here, all the things that Paul is putting into practice, you are being creative. So the next aspect of being purpose-filled is being creative. I want to find people who are creative. I want to tether myself to people who are creative because God is the one, the author of creativity. When people are creative, man, that's why I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of that. Not that everyone in this room is creative. We know this. People think differently than others, but you are creative. See, a lot of people get this all messed up. My wife and I, we learned this years and years ago. People who are uber creative, and that's the ones you're like, gosh, they're just so creative. They may have 100 ideas, but only one idea that's actually successful, all right? The person who is really not so creative on a continual basis, or at least exudes or shows that, is really, they may not have 100, but they may have one, and it actually is successful in the one idea they have. Okay, so in the example of the world, and many of you guys know this, there's Walt Disney, but no one ever knows who Roy Disney is. Roy Disney was Walt's brother. Roy is the one who actually built Walt Disney World, not Walt. It was the idea of the creative, but it was Roy who actually put it into practice. I would argue that Roy also is creative. Okay, so that's where you have to understand. So don't discredit yourself to think, I could never be creative. That's not true. You can be creative. And I also believe if you tether yourself to someone who's creative, you too are going to get a little glitter on you. All right? All right? You're going to get some creativity on you. So you begin to think this way. You begin to act this way. So my wife and I, we visited a friend in Tulsa, Oklahoma this past week, Greg and Krista Baca, and we walked away, we ate with them, we walked away going, they're so creative. I mean, it was on another scale of creativity. I'm used to being around people who are creative, but this was a whole nother scale of creativity. When I walked away from being with them for, 2 hours? I had ideas. Like, I walked away being creative. Like, I walked away in the car with Anna going, we need to do this. We need to do that. She's like, we need to do this. We need to do that. We need to change this. We need to adapt to this. We were back and forth for another hour. That's what being tied to someone who's creative, that you begin to see things differently. And that's why it's important that if you begin to see things differently, it's important that you tie yourself to people who are fixing their thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. That's why creativity is important. The next thing that I find to be very important, I'm just going to allude to some scriptures here, but it's being honorable. That when there is purpose, there's not a disrespect. There's an honor that takes place. So if you tether yourself to someone who is with purpose, they walk with honor. Not only for themselves, they exude honor, but they also give honor. They don't treat people with contempt. They don't treat people with disrespect. They're very honorable. That's really important. I see people disrespect people all the time. All the time. Some of the belittling, backhanded comments that are said, smart aleck. You can try to cover it up with whatever you want, but it's really disrespectful. And to find someone who is honorable and above reproach, it's something to be in awe of. And the scripture reference that I would tie to is with David and Saul, found in 1 Samuel here. This story, if you ever find yourself with a knife in your hand in a cave, then this is your story. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, read your Bible this week. Just Google David in a cave with a knife. And that story right there will tell you what honor is all about. And so be very careful with the words you choose, the actions you take. And when you tie yourself to someone, ask yourself, are they honorable in the hierarchy of David and Saul? Are they in that position? The next and final point that I bring up today of why and the beauty of being tethered to someone, what's the benefit of this? It's security. You're not alone. You've got someone that's got your back. You've got security. This is really important. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10, it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. If Brian were to fall and we be tethered, I'm either going with him, being that close, or I'm turning around, I'm able to help him, and that's really important. It's important that we're here for one another, that being tethered together brings that security. If someone's with me, someone's got my back. I've done this before in other sermons, and I can't do it right now because all of my good, close friends are actually preaching sermons right now, so none of them would answer their phones. But I could call a lot of my friends, and they would answer right now. It's not a send me to voicemail. It's a Josh is calling me, and I better answer. And that's really, I mean, that's worth so much to me that I have men of faith that I can call right now. I'll never forget, I won't name drop. I had a very large pastor one time. I was explaining to them some problems I was having, and I shared with them, and they said, well, why didn't you call me? And I said, well, because I don't have your cell phone number, because why would you give me your cell phone number? This is a pastor of a very large church. And he's like, well, take my cell phone number. And he gives me his cell phone number. And I knew right then in that very moment that I could call him if I needed him. I could easily. And I loved that approach of security. He was very, very heartfelt behind it. You need to call me next time. One time I was dealing with a church bully years ago. And I didn't have the answers. I just didn't have the answers that I needed to have. And so another good friend of mine, he told me, he said, from now on, I know, Josh, you're not quick. You can't handle these things, but I am quick. Just call me and put me on speakerphone. You know what? I believe wholeheartedly that that pastor could answer the questions that needed to be answered without a shadow of doubt. And I am so ready to call him Thank the Lord I haven't had to, but I'm thankful for men in my life that I could put on speakerphone and they can answer the questions I can't answer. In my own insecurities, but also in my own inabilities, that I have people in my life that I'm tethered to that are secure. And that's important. In Galatians 5:13, it says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead," I'm sorry, I skipped ahead. In Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, what I just read is the reach out and help. That's the little verse here in verse 10. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. So the subcategory here to having security is you have someone who's going to reach out and help, okay? So that's A to my point three here. So reach out and help. People that are willing to do that, that's important. So now in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." So my second point of the third point here is you're looking for people who have a servant's heart. You're looking for someone who has a servant's heart. Guys, to find someone who is willing to serve, to pick up and to do, to help, no matter what it is, this is key. Someone who lives on a pedestal, you don't really want to follow too often. All right, you're actually serving them. And that's not what we're looking for here. We're looking for people who are doers of God's word, who are actually ready to bend down and wash the feet, who's ready to help and willing to be there. Guys, that's really important, the servant's heart. So I'm going to say it over again. Point one, the benefit of being tethered to someone is blessings. You're going to see blessings. And being tethered to someone, you need to make sure that they are wise, that they are of good character, that they live in harmony, all right? And then the other benefit of being tethered to someone is purpose. You're going to have purpose now. There is something to what you're doing, and there's going to be answers to what you're doing. And that's a beautiful thing to be yoked with someone in purpose of what you're doing. When you're walking this way, you're walking with worthiness, and that's really a beautiful thing. But subcategory to that purpose of what you're looking for with someone is that they're determined. People who have purpose are determined. They're not lazy. They're not slothful. They are pushing the envelope. They are moving forward. They're breaking down the walls. They're sitting here going, "I'm going to get this done because God has called me to do it." All right, that's really important. They're determined. With that, there's creativity. They are speaking what God is speaking. They are speaking the authority. They know the authority that God's given them. They know what's possible. They know what God can do, and there's creativity that comes from that. It's a new way of thinking. On top of that, you're looking for people who are honorable. They're honorable. This is really key, that they're treating people with respect. They're not sitting there bad-mouthing people behind their backs. They're not gossipers, but they're encouragers, not discouragers. Really important. And then thirdly, security. To be tethered to someone, you get security. You have someone who has got your back. They're not going to see that you're alone, that they're sitting here saying, "I am with you, I am for you, I'm going to be with you all of our days." Having someone like that in your life is important. What's going to be the key ingredients that you got to look for into someone with that security is they reach out and they help. You see this all the time with people. People that have security, they turn around and they help. People who don't have security, what's happened is they're always reaching out for help because they don't know who the stronghold is, who the cornerstone is, and that's Jesus Christ. So it's really important that you see that people, that person you're going to tether yourself to is reaching out and is helping others. And the last thing with this particular point is servant's heart, that they are willing to serve, that they're willing to get dirty, they're willing to be a part of what's happening. When you grab yourself and tether yourself to someone like that, huge, huge. Now, the last part of today. This is hard for any type of pastor to say these things because this is my church, and I'm the guy in charge. I do want you guys to know, if you didn't know this and you're new, when we finish completing this this project with this church building and getting in here, I took a full year of contemplating if I was still the pastor of this church. That was I just the guy who was supposed to build the church here in Graham, North Carolina, and then find someone who's supposed to do it? So I spent a whole year making sure that I was that guy that God wanted me to continue to lead Trailhead. And I felt a peace to know that I was supposed to stay put. And I'm supposed to be here until God comes back, okay? So I'm not going anywhere. I don't, you know, so don't think those things. And I'm going to, I'm not going anywhere. But I'm here. And in that process, I want you to know that I don't take this position lightly. That's why I share that with you, that I don't take this for granted. I don't think that I deserve it. I don't think that this is my pulpit. This is God's pulpit. This is, I stand in this pulpit knowing this is God's pulpit, not Josh Gresham's. I am not that guy. I never want my name on this building. I don't want it anywhere in this building. I'm Josh, and I'm the pastor of this church, period, okay? But usually, a lot of churches will leave this to evangelists to say, but I want to say it. I believe you should have a pastor in your life. Whether it's Trailhead Church or not, you need to have a pastor in your life. It needs to be a singular pastor in your life, okay? I've had too many times where people have all sorts of pastors in their life, and this is, you know, to truth be told, what it looks like is you're a tangled mess, and you're being pulled left and right. And you don't really know who you're tied to, and you don't know what's going on. One pastor says this, one pastor says this. When we pastors get into the pulpit, we literally are praying that the people who are listening to this message, that this word is for them to apply to their lives. Now, don't get me wrong. I love listening to other pastors. I got all kinds of pastors that I listen to, but I have one singular pastor in my life, and that's my father-in-law. Sorry, I'll start crying. So if I have a question in my life, I go to him because he's my pastor. I've tethered myself to my pastor, and I'm not tossed to and fro. That I listen to what he has to say about my life for the foremost of anybody else. That's his number one. That's my pastor. So I would encourage you to tie yourself to your pastor. Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow example of their faith. In Ephesians 4:11 and 12, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. In Hebrews 13:17, it says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Guys, it is hard. It is hard to give an account to people that I don't even know if you go to this church or not. And the statistic is that it's one in every five services that you attend. One in five. I don't even know who you are. Some of you in this room. I love you. I want to get to know you. I want to be your pastor. But you got to attend. You got to serve. You got to be a part of this body. You have to tether yourself so that when things happen, I can look at some of you in this room and I can go, I got your back because I know your heart. If Stephen Strout called me up, I could say, all right, let's do this. We're in spiritual warfare together. I know the backstory. I know what's going on. He doesn't even have to tell me. I know what's going on because he's been sharing with me. He's been talking with me. We've been in communication with one another on a regular basis. I see his family every single week. But you know the other side of this that I love is because of this, do you know that I don't really have to worry about Stephen Strout? Because he's tethered to this church and to me as a pastor, I appreciate that. I don't have to think about the Strouts because they're tethered. And that's why it's so important that you don't just be everywhere to every church. And that leads me to being tethering yourself to the church. This isn't something you take lightly. This is something that you say, this is my church and I'm not going anywhere. There's not this, it's not a numbers game. It's not here at Trailhead Church, it's not a numbers game. And listen, we relish vacations. Anna and I just went 2.5 weeks with our family. I want you guys on vacation. You can miss Sundays. It's got nothing about that. I'm talking about being a part of the church and saying, this is my church. I want to believe with this group of people right here for Jesus to come back and come back soon. I want to see revival. I want to see breakthroughs. I want to celebrate when people's lives are changed. I want to know what's going on, and I want to be a part of people's lives to believe with them and see the miracles and the signs and the wonders. I want to stand in agreement with them. I want them to know that I'm tethered to them, that I'm with them, and that we're helping each other, that I'm making this decision. It says in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, that if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. I want you guys to realize, I know this seems extreme, but the way I approach all of this is that I'm not making excuses, that this is it, that this is my church and I'm tied to my church, that this is it, that we're in this together, and that wherever I go, it's tied to the church, that everything I do, it's tied to the church. The church is what God ordained from the very beginning. And when you do this, this is not something that you just make excuses. Well, you know, because when the world's going to come at you. And that's what James is telling you. The world's going to come at you, and you got to be tied to something. Because you cannot be tossed to and fro. Amen. Guys, I know this is going to sound kind of weird and harsh maybe. But I know that there's other churches in our community. I'm very well aware there's other churches in our community, and I'm sure they're good churches. I don't know them. I don't know. I only know maybe two of the pastors in this area well enough that I could say, yeah, they're good people, but I'm not in their church. I don't know what's going on. It's like having the long rope attached. I have no idea. And I'm not talking bad about any church in this community. I'm giving you an open invitation to be a part of this church and to say, this is my church. I want to be tethered to this pastor, and I want to be tethered to the people that are in this church, that we are in agreement and congruency, that we're doing this together, that we are doing what the Word of God says. But if you're going to another church, I can't help you. Like, I cannot help you. I sadly, I've had it too often tell me, you've told me what this pastor told you to do and this pastor, and I'm sitting there just going, who's your pastor? I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, I don't even know who your pastor is. I think it might be Bill Johnson from Bethel. I think it might be Stephen Furtick from Elevation, and I think it might be Bob Schmo over here and Susan Joe over here. By the way, if there's a pastor named Bob in this area, I have no idea. So I'm just saying that out loud. But seriously, this is your church. If this is your church, make it your church. Serve the body of Christ. Be a volunteer. Give in your church. See fit that everything is being taken care of in this house, and your house will be taken care of. 100%. When you are connected to someone who's doing all that I just shared with you, then I'm going to tell you what, your life will be forever changed. Yeah, that's right. So my encouragement for all of you today is to go home, to process the thought, process all that was taught this morning, and sit here and go, and look at your spouse. If you're a husband and wife and you're in this room, talk to one another. Is this my church? This is my church. This is what I'm doing. This is it. And we're gonna make this home, okay? Then do it, okay? If you're solo in this room and you're like, man, I was hoping there would be a pretty girl here this morning. And you're like, ah, oh, and you only came here to try to meet your spouse, then again, you're here for all the wrong motives, okay? You cannot do that. I don't have much time, but I'll say this. My wife and I she was dating one of my friends before we met. And so I met her dating one of my friends. This is a funny story. They broke up, she started dating another one of my friends. And that friend kept telling her that we would be perfect together, which is really strange. So then we got together. Well, I was a guy, I got to get, she's the pastor's daughter of a church in the local area. Well, so I started going to the church. So then in starting going to the church, they found out that I played the bass guitar. So they were like, would you want to play bass guitar? And I was like, sure, I'll play bass guitar. So I'm up there, I'm playing bass, right? So I'm worshiping, and then here's Anna. She's on the front row. I take off my bass. I've come down. We sit down in church, and so then, you know, this was just a regular routine. Well, a couple months go by, and she dumps me. I know, you're not the bad guy. She needed to dump me. We needed to be apart. So here, guess what? I'm at a church because of a girl, and I had to make this decision. Here I am playing bass. And literally, it was awful, because I'm sitting here playing bass looking at her like, why am I here, right? It was awful. So I had to make the decision. Am I here because of Anna, or am I here because of the Word? Am I here because I want to tether myself to a church? And so, you know what? I remember that moment. I was making that decision, and her father, who was not a hugger, I think knew by the Holy Spirit that I was in that tug of war. And at the end of a worship practice night, I came off the stage, and he happened to be there that evening and ushered me over. And he gave me a big hug, and he says, you don't go anywhere. I go, yeah, but I said, but it stinks to play bass and look at your daughter on the front stage, you know, in the front row. And he goes, it doesn't matter. He goes, you're not here for her. So what are you here for? And I made that determination that I was there for God, period. Not because of a girl. And obviously, shortly after that, you know, months go by, year goes by, we're married, and then children and all that good stuff, and now we're here. But I'm here to tell you that you don't come to church as a single individual with the idea of, like, I'm here to shop, okay? You're here because God has told you to be here, and God is working on you, and he's preparing you for the person he's working on over here, okay? So just be patient. Be patient, because God will give you the best, all right? If you're patient, you're obedient, and you're willing. So I'm encouraging right now to sit here in that moment, the end of church here, go get in your car, you drive home, and you sit and you think about all of these different aspects of who you're going to tether yourself to and what you're going to do, and making that decision, this is where I'm at, because God's looking for people who are solid and that they are willing and obedient. Lord, I thank you for this morning and all that you have laid out before us. God, I'm so thankful, Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that it does not fall on deaf ears. God, I'm so thankful, Lord, for opening up the heavens and pouring out blessing after blessing after blessing. God, I pray for the right people for to be tethered to. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that you show us who to be tethered to in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for it, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. We have a prayer room, my left, your right. If you need anything at all, go to that room. If you don't know who Jesus is, your Lord and personal Savior, make that decision this morning. Go to that room, guys. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you next week. Love you, Pastor. Love you.